We are 6 days away from WrestleMania. Braun's twin makes his debut. And does silence mean no? And if you want lightning, you need to be the thunder. All that and more on the next Raw on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Little volume, little lights.
That's pageantry right there. That's pageantry from Anthony.
And my headphones are a little bit low, Tony. Welcome, guys, to Raw on AfterBuzz TV. Y'all, don't be coming for me. I read the comments.
Hating hard. Hating on you.
I'm just doing my job.
Doing the thing.
I can't. And the thing is, like, I don't know. I feel like I need to be working harder because the rest of the panel, like, they're on the grind all the time. So if you notice, we are missing some people. And it looks like I just erased. Oh, no. We are missing some people. We might have a special guest later on in the show. But Marquita's out. She's hustling. So she's not, like, just sitting home watching us. Like, she wants to be here. Johnny is out. He's hustling. And Brandon's out. He's hustling. So, again, don't come for me. I'm reading your comments. If you do not want to see a new paddle, you can turn out right now.
Turn off. Turn
it's
off.
Like, I'm the lower man on the totem pole. I just showed up literally 6 weeks ago.
How about you, girl?
And I'm here. So, just saying. All right. For our guest host today, we have Cameron Rice from Hyper RPG.
Hello. Hey. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. And we have America's Sweetheart.
Right.
Ivan Mack.
Yo, what up?
I need to put the chat on a separate screen on my computer because I'm sure this is.
Yo, holla at your boy.
All right, so let's. There's a lot, but it's kind of one of those things where every week it seemed to switch up. Like, one week it seemed like really heavy on matches, one week seemed like it's very, like, you know, more soap opera style, and then it kind of switch up. So this week it seemed more, you know, setting us up because next week is the week. Are any of you guys going?
I'm going to be in Tokyo, man. That's my first mania I'm missing in like 6 years, though, man.
I mean, I'll take Tokyo. What are you doing in Tokyo?
I'm depressed. I don't know. I'm going to try to catch mania.
I mean,
at a bar.
Middle of the night.
For real.
You can give me the Tokyo tickets, and I can get you tickets to mania.
See, that's a nice switch
I mean, I'll go to Tokyo.
That's what's up. I'm just a little depressed because the streak's ending. Man, I had like a little under-cheek streak going. You know what I mean? I was like 6-0 at WrestleMania, going to all WrestleManias, but
the
streak's coming to an end.
I'll be in LA. I'll be watching on TV in LA.
All right. So are you going to Tokyo to work or what?
Literally just to take pictures, being a black man in Tokyo.
Well, then that's your fault. You should have known when to book it. Like,
Mania is the same time every year, usually.
No, but that's the thing. It's in the Supernova, I was already there. I was like, oh, that's a sign. Like, I need to do this Tokyo trip right now.
Right.
Because it was already there like a few years ago. Mm. That was my sign. You know what I'm saying? It's still depressing, TK.
Speaking of signs, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, they attacked Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey. So they came. They almost did like a UFC debut.
Yeah.
So you notice it felt reminiscent of, and I know they've done this on plenty of times, but the most recent one I can think of is the Mayweather-McGregor thing where they traveled all over the world and they came up and they did the discussions and, you know, somebody talked about somebody's mama, somebody talked about somebody else's mama. They said, it's going to go down, somebody's going to beat somebody. Then they have a face-off, but it wasn't supposed to be a face-off because coach is like, it's not really a face-off like that cheesy other place, which he's trying to diss UFC, which is not good. Then they have the face-off, and then I like Stephanie. Stepping back down because she was in backing down. I feel like she was kind of acting like a punk the earlier weeks.
Yeah.
I like the fact that I know that she can't compare to Ronda, but I like the fact that she stood her ground. So
there were two things that stood out to me. Was first of all, when Stephanie put her through the table, she kept pointing at her and putting her arm there. I thought Ronda was going to grab her and like armbar right there. Didn't happen. I thought they were really telegraphing it. Mm-hmm. And I guess the table move killed Ronda because Angle was then throughout Raw. Ronda, nowhere to be seen.
When else is she supposed to show up, though?
I don't know. You think there'd be something at the end. But I think it killed her. Angle's in a handicap match now, judging by the show. It's so funny because actually last night I watched the McGregor documentary that's on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. So if you guys haven't watched it, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I would have liked watching it more before he went up against Mayweather. Because I know he's like, obviously I'm not taking away from his work ethic, but like the whole thing Mayweather, it just leaned more towards douchey.
It was a dog and pony show, though. It was a lot of a lot of bells and whistles.
Whereas this, and I saw it before that match, I would have appreciated it more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. His toughness, his grit, his grind, mm-hmm. his come up. It would have been a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought the same thing watching that opening segment was I was like, oh, this feels like a UFC mm-hmm. kind right. of thing. Just less water bottles being thrown.
Right.
And shirts being taken off for no reason.
No reason.
I mean, I'm sure. Have you guys been following Stephanie on her Instagram? And she's getting in. I mean, they showed it last week, but she's been getting work. So yeah. She's been doing it. So, you know, maybe she does have a six pack underneath that. That's
it could happen.
She appreciate that. She what, like two or three kids that she has?
I'll let you grow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm very interested to see how this match actually plays out.
Right.
Because they've been showing us all the segments of Ronda training, but I'm wondering if this is going to mostly be a Triple H angle match with Ronda arm barring for the tap at the end.
Interesting.
I'd like to be wrong, but I'd be shocked if this match was longer than 8 minutes.
Think so, ooh. Huh?
I think for it to be... to maintain our interest and not for us to see her flaws, then that would make sense. If it goes any longer, then you're going to start seeing the chinks in the armor, and she hasn't been able to build that up in a live performance against folks.
So. Yeah, they might give her one off the top rope move. Mm-hmm. She might do one thing off the top rope just so you can have Cole go, "We've never seen Ronda do anything like this before! My God!"
Damn, okay.
That might be the one thing.
Okay. are you, like, looking forward to it? What's the deal?
Oh, I'm down, you know. I said, I'm down. I just want to see her in the ring. It's that WrestleMania moment, if you've ever been there, if you ever see it on TV. It's like, you just want to get that feel, the crowd, and it's just to see the atmosphere. That's what I want to see, you know what I mean? Like, she'll get better with time.
Right.
She's going to be nervous no matter how many big matches she's had in the octagon. There's nothing like 70,000.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, and that's why it's one of her dreams, because she's never seen that. Like, and if you hear anybody recount their WrestleMania moments, they're like, they always, like, 70,000 people, 80,000 people. Mm-hmm. And they really tell how that took them over. So I'm interested to see how she handles that moment.
I'm also interested to see what Triple H's entrance is for this Mania.
Seriously.
Because he's done Terminator.
Goodness.
Mad Max. I'm like, what movie came out last year? I'm like, Stephanie could be Wonder Woman, I guess. But I don't know what Triple H can do.
It's always possible. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the match, but I'm also, like, the same thing, kind of hesitant. Because I don't want... You know, I'm hoping she's going to do well. She did seem more comfortable today far as talking.
Yeah.
Which, the fact that that's only been, what, 4 or 5 weeks that she's been on the contract?
Really?
I mean, it seems like if she's getting used to that, then, that's something to look forward to. Step in the right direction. So, moving on. Bayley defeats Sonya Deville. Mm-hmm. Sonya Deville is looking great.
Yes.
So, I mean, we already know that it's just a matter of time, obviously not next week or 6 months from now, but there's going to be a buildup and there's going to be a nice storyline because she just has a good package.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, her whole crew. So we already knew, you know, Bayley's going to we didn't know, but I kind of figured that was going to happen. And it's more about Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, they finish the match. Absolution tries to take down Bayley. Sasha comes in, you know, saves her friend. She's like, I just saved you. Let's, you know, celebrate. Bayley's like, nah, trick. It's not going to happen.
It's over.
Yeah. So what do you think of this this friendship, this relationship?
Do you care? Do you care about this match? Do you...
It's hard because, we can talk about a lot of this, especially with the Nia Jax Alexa Bliss thing.
Right.
I tweeted about this, that as good as the women's matches are, and they're great, and there's all these specials on the network that are dedicated to how great women's wrestling is, and they're there. But I feel like a lot of the storylines, not all, but a lot of the women's storylines are still, we were friends and you betrayed me.
Right.
You're ugly. You're this.
Right.
And they're kind of
like a mean girl type thing.
There's these mean girl, women can't actually be friends thing that is gross. And I don't get it because we've seen the best friends betray each other storylines in the men's division when it's like Sammy and Kevin or Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Right.
And it never is like this weird, like, but you were my friend and you're breaking my heart kind of thing.
Oh, I know what you mean.
And the whole impetus of it was that Bayley was like, you screwed me over in Elimination Chamber, but I'm like, it wasn't a tag match. It was a wrestling match where every person was for themselves. And they can't seem to know whether they want to pull the trigger on Sasha being a heel or not, because in the Rumble, she was pretty aggressive, and in the Elimination Chamber, she was really aggressive, so it's like, oh, they're finally going to... And then WWE did their thing where they're like, actually, it'll be Bayley who's going to be the heelish one.
Did you notice, and you know, I might be totally wrong, did you notice her outfit?
It
was kind of, it was kind of, one side was dark and one side was more light. I don't know if that was, you know,
there's probably something
implied,
to that.
But it just seems like it might be implied.
A little mean streak, Bayley, why not?
Those little things. I know. I don't care.
And isn't that a shame considering these two had like the match of the year like yeah. 2-3 years ago?
Tore the doors down.
And now they're facing each other at Mania and everyone's just like, whatever.
Well, because there's so many, I mean, I think this is every year. There's so many, every match can't be a great match else
right.
you'll be totally exhausted and nobody will go home. They'll just literally sleep in the stadium because
right.
it's just so much excitement. So you have to almost balance it out with you have a great match and then you have a match that's like, okay, cool.
The lull.
It's the same thing with music and albums. They can't have an upbeat thing the whole time else literally like you will, you know, beat your head into the wall and that will be the end of you.
Seriously.
So, you know, I definitely understand where they're coming from. I definitely agree with you as far as the friendship and the woman thing, but you're coming from a male perspective.
Sure,
and I think 100%. With females, those relationships are, I don't want to say a little bit more important, but, you know, I know a lot of dudes, they're like lone rangers. They have friends, right. but like...
It's not their end all be all.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. I just think it's maybe more is that a lot... I mean, and it's been talked about that like WWE's writers' room is almost all men, but mm-hmm. one woman, and it kind of feels like it's more of a Vince thing, being like, eventually all women want to betray each other, and less of a friendship is important, and more of like a you can't trust them,
right? Kind of which thing. Which is, I mean, we're in the era of Me Too, and there's been a lot of change, but it still seems like with WWE, I mean, just look at I've just finished binge watching Lucha Underground the first season. Still have two more to go. But, I mean, just look at, Sexy Star in Lucha. She's battling dudes. Like,
yeah, she's on the level.
She's literally doing stuff that the women in WWE can do, but they are just kind of testing the water with the Mixed Match Challenge.
Yeah.
And even in the Mixed Match Challenge, they have to go female against female, guy against guy.
Yeah, they're
guy,
dipping their toe in it a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think it's the reason, to me at least, the storyline that's really grabbing me is more Asuka Charlotte, because that's more of a... Who's better?
Yeah.
Who's better? And it's not about like you hurt my feelings at a thing.
Yeah, this
and they
is,
both
yeah.
have dominant storylines, meaning that, you know, obviously Charlotte is a pedigree and she's amazing, and then Asuka
icon.
Yeah. 500 plus.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's definitely two storylines, and it's almost like, you know, the playground. Like, who's faster? Who's better?
Yep.
And you literally just leave it out on the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
So I definitely think that that match will be really, really good. I'm looking forward to that. But the Bayley one, not so much. Seth Rollins defeats Finn Balor.
It was a match, man.
It was a long match.
That match was incredible, though. It really was.
The match itself was great, and those two left it all there. We're sweating messes by the end.
But misses commentary.
But I don't know. I don't think WWE wanted us to care about the match because the amount of time they kept cutting to the Miz at the promo at the table
and
just
Monroe
talking.
Monroe. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Which is like, and I get it's a huge thing in Miz's life, but I'm like, do you want us to pay attention to this match? And then they had a WrestleMania commercial about like AJ and Shinsuke that was bigger than the match. And I'm like, you clearly do not want me to care about this.
But if you cut through all that stuff, you just said all valid points, man. Right. That match was a barn burner.
It was a
clean victory by Seth.
Yeah.
Curb stomp. It was like reversal. It was kick out after kick out. It was everything. Out on the ring, on the floor, everywhere. I was blown away. I was like, this is a Monday Night Raw match before WrestleMania. These boys are putting that on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Say that for Sunday.
And there was a great little moment where it looked like Rollins was going to try and do the same move to Finn from SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what a great little moment. And I kind of wonder, it's one of those matches where I think if you were there live, you'd be like, this is incredible. But watching it on TV, I just wanted to be like, get all the shit out of the way.
Well, I think it may have been intentional. It was it was a good match, which it seems terrible because you're now sacrificing these people's bodies to be the backdrop to the rest of the entertainment.
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, The Miz has been saying all along that WWE doesn't, you know, treat him right and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos to him because he literally just had his baby, I believe, last week. I don't remember exactly what day it was.
Yeah.
Last week they posted pictures, all that good stuff. And he got to talk about his daughter during the segment. But again, I'm still debating whether this is true or not. Because in real life, this is definitely true. Like, you're the worker who shows up on time and does all that stuff. They're the ones that usually get crapped on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the fact that his daughter is born and he's... in Atlanta, he lives in LA, and he's in Atlanta, you know, there to talk, just talk.
Yeah.
Speaks volumes.
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of mentioned that. So, if they are not crapping on him, but they actually like him, but that's the storyline, and they gave him a platform to talk about his daughter and the birth.
Right.
that's really cool. If not, and he just talks about his daughter and birth because he wants to, still cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So definitely looking forward to this match. I'm pretty glad because in Total Divas, that was the thing when they announced that Maryse is pregnant. They're at the doctor and he's like, yeah. Is she going to be born? Can we schedule this before WrestleMania? So it looks like he got his wish. So congratulations to Miz and Maryse. Braun Strowman.
Boy, is this man, oh, this man
he
is
debuts
over.
With his twin.
Yeah.
Brain.
Yeah.
Listen, Braun, like, I don't need a partner. Yeah. Anthony in the building. DJ.
Brain ain't done with you yet.
Braun, he can do anything, man, apparently, man, because that was the crowd went nuts on that part.
Yeah, and it shows that he's so versatile. Like, when I was first introduced to him, I was like, all right, he's big. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he can move. Oh, he could talk. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's funny.
Yeah.
And then he has a twin.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Two Brons.
Yeah. I really actually enjoyed the bit. This is a perfect example, though, of something where I'm like, oh, man, the bit works so good. And then the commentators start talking.
But Corey sold it so well, though. Corey's surprise. Oh,
no. Corey, I love Corey. It was more like there was never, and you know, not everything could be as it was when we were kids, but I'm trying to think, if this was JR and the King, King would have been like, it's Brain, JR. And you would have just heard JR go like, oh my God. Like, selling hard.
But Corey was going and he was like, man, I just didn't know, man. The resemblance is uncanny.
I know, but there was no counterbalance. And I was like, oh God.
Yeah, Grace is all alone. He's on an island by himself, like, hey guys, hell, I'm selling this.
Trying real hard. But I dug that bit. I'm very interested to see what is going to be the tag team thing.
We were talking about that, it earlier, off camera. Were you?
Yeah, I have a theory. And my theory is, and this is, it's one of these interesting things about being a wrestling fan where you have to go like, where are things going to fall on the card? Mm-hmm. And I think if it's like last year where was it announced that all of Mania is going to be 7 hours, including pre-show?
I think they said it after the fact, but I might be wrong.
But I think if the Andre the Giant Battle Royale is on the pre-show.
Which it is, I believe.
I believe it is. And if Elias wins and that tag match hasn't happened, I bet Elias is the tag partner.
That's where
that's been the rumor.
That's interesting.
Because
that's
he was doing all this stuff with Elias before the whole tag team thing happened.
Right, and then it just dissolved.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, my other guess, and this will be like he's not winning the belts, is either Mark Henry or the Big Show. Because Mark Henry is being put into the...
By Big Show.
Yeah, by the Hall of Fame. So I think it could be one of those two. But if it's one of those two,
you know for a fact they're not...
They're not going to win. The Bard will pull it out somehow.
Right. Be fun to see, though.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want that, though. Like, it would be fun to see, but I... Like, it feels like Braun has been putting in his time.
Yes, I agree.
And he definitely deserves a belt.
Boy, has he.
So I wouldn't want that to enter. And then, and it could, maybe the Big Show is now officially like on, like, because he was injured and now he's back. So maybe if that is a thing, then it would make sense. Like, okay, it's possible. All right, they can both get
A legitimate run.
Yeah, but if it's Mark Henry, it's just like,
it's going to be the nostalgia pop.
Right. So I definitely wouldn't want to see that because then I would be interested in the match, but not as interested.
Absolutely.
Then that excitement, like, who's going to
win? Who could win? Yeah. That.
So, I mean, we'll see. Or he can just do it by himself, which he's perfectly capable of. Or if he does a switcheroo where, like, maybe he ducks underneath the mat and then suddenly comes out the other side as Brain.
Oh, my goodness. And wins the title by himself?
Yes. And if he does that, like, if he does that in the swiftness, like, he literally kicks out somebody and he goes underneath and within, like, a 15 to 10 second window.
Clark
Kent's
the glasses.
Switches up. I mean, I would be kind of excited about that.
So holding two belts at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't hate that.
Why not?
But then think of just the storylines, the mics. Like, Cesaro and Sheamus would lose the belt to technically one person.
Oh my God.
Braun Strowman could take envisioning, like, you guys are so terrible.
Yeah, you lost
that
one
you
day.
Lost to one guy. Like, everybody could take them. Like, all the tag teams can take them to business, and they're literally going to drop down in, because think of the how you would feel, and now you're building up another storyline where they're trying to redemption.
Right.
So I mean, that would be interesting. I totally pulled that out of my butthole, but I actually really like that.
It's
pretty
good.
Cool.
Speaking
of kind of moving on, Woken Matt Hardy. I love Goldust is today. Like I said, it felt more less matches, but some of the you know, vignettes with gold dust. It's really feeling it. Like, it was believable.
Well, that was the only thing, is I felt like they were building up Goldust, like, with the R-Truth stuff, and I thought they were going to really do, like, a match or a real run with it, and then it kind of got burnt off in, like, a pre-show or a Raw, and then that was it. And then Goldust has kind of been popping up here and there. He had a match with Cena, but I do like whenever they bring back those vignettes, because that takes me back to, like, 1996, 97, seriously, when those things were happening.
Yeah, giving a taste of nostalgia is always good, you know, and Goldust, the ultimate company man, he can still give you good matches, still in shape. It's good for Matt Hardy to actually, people like to see wrestling still, you know, spoiler alert, people actually still like to see wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's good to see the OG get in the ring, you know, and do his thing.
Yeah, and then you got Matt Hardy, and I love the Woken Broken stuff.
It's amazing.
It's so fun and so funny and so silly, but in the best ways for me.
Yeah.
But there is a degree where I'm kind of like, oh, there is a little part of me that's like kind of bummed out that he's only doing the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Right.
Because I'm kind of like, crazy. No, he's worked so hard.
Hey, give him something.
Like, it doesn't have to be Bray, because I felt like that was taken care of, but I'm kind of like, I give him something.
So do you think Bray's going to come back?
I would be
WrestleMania.
Cost him the match. The
Maybe
Royal.
It'd be interesting if he sat this one, because he was already kind of like, he was in with Randy Orton last year, but the year before that was the infamous like Rock segment, where he was only in there for like 10 seconds. God. So that'd be very, and then the year before that was when he lost to Taker. So it'd be very like a good 4-year run of bleh for Bray.
He never has Mania. Won. So.
Or maybe the lights go out because we're not expecting it because he's in the lake.
In the rumble.
Right. And the lights go out, like, and, you know, there is five final people left, and all of a sudden you see Bray in the ring.
Which I'd be, I'm mad, that'd be great.
I'm mad at all.
That would be great. Like, we I think we all understand his role. I do like him when the brothers were with him, but, you know, I think after the WrestleMania we might see...
Do you think they separated them too early?
I don't know. Some people just, well, I get that you have to change, because if you stay the same, then it's going to become stale. But like I, for instance, can't envision the New Day separating anytime soon. I mean, maybe there'll be a storyline where they separate, and they tried to do that with Xavier and Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was kind of shaky, and then they went back. So maybe they separate where they try, and they tried to do it with, I think Xavier tried to do something with a belt, and like it was like to get the singles belt. He didn't, you know, didn't make it. So I could see them separating for a moment, but not in like bad terms and not permanently.
Big E's doomed. He should have been at a run, though.
Yeah.
Like a title run, like legitimate, with the New Day holding tag belts, and then him winning the title, at least intercontinental. I'm like, man, that's another story, though.
I'm waiting for that moment when they either do a superstar shakeup or a draft where they Dudley Boy them, where they're going to be like, we're going to take one of the New Day and put them on a different brand.
Yeah, and I wouldn't.
And not tell them.
Yeah. I mean.
Wow.
I mean, I could. Who am I? I'm just, you know. But I wouldn't want to see that.
I wouldn't want to see it either.
But you know, it might, in the long run, work out for them. So it's the same thing with Bray. It just felt like it was a complete thing. And now when they're separated, it's just kind of like he's kind of like lost. He's trying to figure out.
Well, the biggest issue with Bray's booking was like he came in with those two guys, and then it never felt like. Like, what they did with Daniel Bryan is what should have kept happening. He should have kept recruiting people. It should have been, like, the Undertaker's ministry.
Yeah.
Right.
Where, like, they're taking people, and then suddenly they're showing up in hillbilly clothes, and you're like, oh, my God, Bray keeps converting people.
The legend's growing. It's, like, the movement's growing.
And you can't... I don't know if you can do a cult leader character that only has two minions for 4 years. It doesn't feel like it really... Yeah. Has momentum to it. And I think also with the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, I'd like it if they told me what the stakes were other than a statue. Like, I think it'd be good if they had said, like,
whoever wins this
gets to go for the Intercontinental or U.S. belt.
Have they done that in the past?
Never.
No, yeah, because as far as I know,
Cesaro won. Yeah. He got a little bit of a push, but then the next year was Big Show. The year after that was Corbin, and then last year was Mojo.
Yeah.
And like, there hasn't really been, like,
anything.
Here's what happens if you win, other than you get a gold statue.
Yeah, and you have that moment of glory
for WrestleMania
that
moment.
Week, and then everybody forgets. So.
Yeah.
Because even Mojo was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
seems like a lifetime ago, right, that he did anything, like, of note.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the chat, they're saying Big E definitely deserves a title. I definitely agree with that.
Yes.
Long overdue.
I think somebody also said, sorry, you guys are typing so fast. I really appreciate you guys in the chat. But somebody said that Kofi should do the Reverend, the preacher. So I think it's what he dressed up as over Halloween. Something like that.
I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
So yeah, I mean, definitely feeling all that. So we will see. I don't know. you know, when stuff like that happens, as far as Bray, like he might be injured, he might be recovering for that, right. Or it might be just literally a vacation, and you know,
yeah, you know,
he's like, I just need some time off,
seriously.
But those moments where he appears in the ring and it's not, who was before Matt? Who was he battling? Was it Finn?
Finn and then he got sick. That was the AJ Finn match.
Yeah, so like those moments where he's battling and it's you're excited to see how it goes and he does all these crazy moves. That's, you know, what I miss. But
well, the bummer is too is that he's good. Like I was in the middle of that Finn Bray feud, which I was not a fan of. It just felt like, and that's the thing that sucks about Bray's character, as great as he is. Is like Rollins that felt like, I feel like anytime someone's feuding with Bray, it just feels like that's the storyline you're kind of fast forward a little bit.
But my problem with that whole Bray with anybody is Bray always loses. Yeah. Like his shtick calls for, he has to be more dominant.
Yeah.
Like it should have been him with the title and then his homies with the tag titles. There should have been a moment when they just had titles. Like they're supposed to be, like he is supposed to be this dominant force, though. Well, Undertaker 2.0, and he just he lost to Demon Finn, regular Finn. He loses to everybody.
Yeah, and that's what I'm confused about, too. It's just kind of like, I understand there's some people that's just kind of the thing, but it's like, at least.
Not Bray, though.
At least, it seems like every, I don't know, people in the chat, like, let me know the last time Bray won.
Like, but honestly, he won the title, right? Clean, right? Pinned great wrestlers to win the title. Mm-hmm. He lost it in 5 seconds to Randy Orton, though.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my goodness.
Well, the thing is, I think a creepy ghost character, which is what he's essentially kind of supposed to be, you kind of want them to have, like, their goal should never be a title. Their goal should be chaos.
Right.
Like, they should be doing, like, backstage segments where it's like, oh, my God, these people were just taken out. Who? Right. Why? Yeah, but it's Bray. But there's no reason because it's madness.
Right.
Yeah, but Bray being the Eater of Worlds, being that guy. Like, I am the guy. Mm-hmm. He has to have a title.
And his mic skills are so crazy that would want to see him with the title and then see what he's going to say to the folks who try to challenge him,
like a CM Punk type run, like a long run where he just cannot be beat.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of somebody who wants to at least get in the match, John Cena, he's preaching again, calling to the heavens.
Oh, TK, did you just reference the GOAT? I think you just did.
Clearly, you guys didn't read the comments last week, but whatever. Obviously, you don't care.
I really don't.
John Cena, he goes in. He's like, I guess silence means no, which is kind of true.
Yeah.
Like, in Tinder terms, they're bread covering and ghosting you. So literally, Undertaker
swipe left.
Ghosting Cena. I think because my profession, whether I'm doing wrestling or in general, requires, off the cuff mic skills, that I really love somebody who can literally go off on a tangent and it's still engaging and you still want to hear what they have to say. So I definitely respect Cena for that. Right. But what do you guys think? I mean, next week is the week.
I mean, I'm glad they address one elephant in the room, which was that Cena's been so like hungry for not just an Undertaker, but like a match at Mania.
Yeah.
I did like that I appreciated that they addressed, because a lot of fans online have kind of pointed out where it's like, enter the Andre the Giant thing.
But that's my thing about
a tag match. So I'm glad they kind of addressed it.
I guess, but that's when the WWE Universe gets too smart for their own good, guys. Just play along.
Yeah, I know.
Hello, of course he can demand a match, guys. It's play along, guys. It's a show.
Oh, I know.
get a little too extra sometimes, man.
I know, but I appreciated that. What I think is going to happen is I think Cena's going to get in the middle of the ring. He's going to go, Taker, you're here, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, go to the back and see. Step between the ropes, and then you're going to hear the gong, and the lights are going to go down. The thing that's odd to me is people didn't like when they did this with Bray Wyatt, when The Undertaker just didn't show up until Mania. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were like, I don't feel a build to this. And, I mean, Cena's Cena, but it does feel odd that, like, I was thinking, like, okay, are they going to end the show with, like, Cena getting into his car or something?
There's so many ways. There's so many ways they do it. Like, the thing about the universe, they don't like getting surprised anymore. They always got to know everything. So wouldn't it be cool if Cena is in the crowd, like you said? What if he's front row?
I think that's good.
You know what I mean? Undertaker comes out and might make, get your ass in the ring.
I'd love it.
You know what I mean? Like, let's go.
In the nosebleeds.
Like, seriously. Like,
and the music goes off and he's like,
John Cena. Like,
it's the last minute.
Yeah, it's not. And you see him running down the aisle.
He's like, come down to the ring right now. Like, you asked for it. I'm here. What's up? And then John, and call John Cena out.
Are we going to get American Badass Undertaker?
I would be pleased.
Kid Rock. I think what may happen is, and I just saw your John Cena figurine.
You see the baby Cena? I don't know where it came from.
Somebody in the comments said, don't read. Somebody in the live chat said, don't read the comments. Again, I'm not, I've been doing this long enough where the comments are whatever. It's just hilarious to me because last week I stated at the beginning of the show, like, look, they're not here. They're coming back. And people literally, like, well, call me when they come back. I'm like,
call me?
Ain't nobody calling you.
Where are they at? I'm like, didn't I just...
Okay. They'll be back.
Yeah, they'll be back. It's just kind of like
occasionally really, you got to see my face though, so it is what it is. Occasionally you got to see me.
So I think Kid Rock he might do like a mini performance or something. They might bring him out because obviously they're gonna do the Hall of Fame. Right. But they might bring him out. He might do a song. Ooh. That's when the song hits. You know, Cena. They'll probably pan to Cena. He's enjoying with everybody eating the popcorn and all that stuff. And then he's.
I like that.
I mean, I like that. So, too. You know.
Yeah, it's weird because they are bringing back, because a lot of people are not fans of the American Badass era of The Undertaker. So it's very interesting if that is what happens.
Right.
And this is his final match.
Yeah. That he's going to be like, oh my God.
Yeah, in the motorcycle with the bandana. And if that's the reason they're inducting Kid Rock before they're inducting Motorhead and Cyndi Lauper, I guess I can go with that a little bit more.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. But also, people understand, like, that's if Undertaker deserves to go out on his own terms. That's his character. Yeah. That's what he wanted to be for a while. So who am I to say what I like? If he wants to come out as American Badass, they like to end his career, so be it.
Is he really going to end his career?
I think he's a Ric Flair. I think he's a guy who's like, I think I'm done, and then starts getting hungry after a couple months.
You think so? You never know, because I don't know, man.
Because I know Mark Henry, he's like almost an ambassador, so he goes and does charity work.
Yeah, he's in a different place.
So with Undertaker, I'm willing to bet that he's on a legend contract, but we never see him. So, or as far as I know, let me know in the chat. Like,
seriously.
Does he show up on live event? Like, I'm sure he doesn't. If he showed up on live event, we'd all hear about it. So what is he doing in the time, because we haven't seen him in like a year.
Chilling.
So you can only chill for so long.
Real talk, right?
So, well, I remember a couple years ago Mick Foley made a joke, I think at a WWE event, where he was like, he said, like, he talked to The Undertaker and said, whatever you do, never get on Twitter. Because he doesn't want that mystique to go away because The Undertaker's tweeting about stuff.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's why he's the wife posts pictures sometimes.
That's smart.
So that's the kind of stuff I do think about, where it's like The Undertaker is the one person who still has this mystique.
Yeah.
So when you do see these photos of like him in the kitchen with like a beanie on.
because people can't like get stomach the fact that, you know, guys, he's going to have to end sometime. Guys.
Oh, I know.
Like he might be getting tired of keeping that up.
Right.
He liked to be in the kitchen with the apron on, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is fine, but that's the whole thing with social media.
That's why
we
want a definitive ending.
That's the whole thing with social media, the good and bad of it. Like, for instance, Nia and Alexa Bliss. They're actually really good friends.
They are.
I have noticed on social media that she doesn't post as much, but smart. I mean, we know.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes away. It takes away from, okay, well, you know what's going on. Like, all the women, as far as I know, the majority of the women, I see them all together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On social media. So then when they have these in ring kind of squabbles, I'm like, you was just at her house yesterday, like.
Yep.
you took the chicken home? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
That kind of, some of those stories take away, but then you also have to, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to get a separate one and get another one for their life. So it's one of those things where and then also the social media on the show is a whole nother beast. I'm just not a fan of. But another thing that I think we could have dealt without is Elias and the Heath Slater. What do you guys think of that?
Man, that was...
It was a squash match.
They didn't have nothing going on.
I guess like Heath Slater now has a shirt that Rhino was wearing. I do enjoy that Elias is over with the crowd, because when that gimmick first started and he came to the main roster, I was the one person that amongst my wrestling friends, I was like, I like this because it is so trolly.
Yeah, I was not
feeling it. Everyone was like, you're crazy. And I'm like, it's going to go over.
Now,
and now it's so over.
Super over.
They're literally releasing an album of his bad songs, which
Jesus,
I'm like,
crackers.
Live that gimmick.
That's the definition of over.
Brought it
oh,
up
yeah,
in
that's
his,
huge.
In his
promo.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, It is getting over. And I think from what I heard, I don't know if we said it last week or I do way too many wrestling shows, but I believe his shirt's the number one merchandise that's being sold.
That's crazy. That does surprise me.
I think. Correct me in the chat, but I think
I read that too.
If it's even top five, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
let's be honest.
I love that. I love that he's over. It's such a trolly character. And I love that he does the oldest wrestling heel gimmick of like, your town stinks.
Yeah, because he was over and he was like, he reeled it basically, hold on, no, y'all. Yeah. You guys are supposed to hate me.
It's the oldest wrestling gimmick.
He like destroyed Atlanta.
Yeah. But it's like he always, and I love how he brings the, the current like events, like when he was in Cleveland, he's like, well, LeBron's gonna leave. Like, I love how he brings like the current stuff where it does kind of hurt a little bit. Because like we have a girl, I work for TMZ, and we have a girl who's all about Cleveland. She's swearing up and down that LeBron's not leaving, like literally, like, you know, in tears. So you have people who are passionate about stuff like that. And then you have this dude in the ring saying, it's happening. Like, you don't want to see that when you're trying to enjoy something. So I definitely appreciate that.
That always reminded me of like when Dwayne Johnson, remember when he used to do the concert? He was like, I'm in Sacramento. He goes, and the best part about it, and I'll be leaving Sacramento. They were like, yay. They're like, boo.
I love that. Because that's the old, God, is it Family Guy episode? Where they had to be like, your current town I am in is terrible.
So good. That is one of my favorite gimmicks.
All right, hold the phone, guys. I have a very special guest. Yeah. I think we need a drum roll.
Yeah.
Since I've been on this show, I haven't seen her because she's been working.
Working hard.
What's up?
Hey!
See, one person of the team.
Woo! Yeah. I've literally had a direct conflict with Raw for ever since the Raw after Elimination Chamber, I think.
Oh, wow.
I think it's been a while. It's a series of campaigns at Hyper RPG, which Cameron works at. Woo! Hyper RPG. I miss it. I miss it
they
so
miss
much.
They miss you. Trust me.
Oh. You're the Undertaker in this scenario.
Seriously.
Oh,
when
man,
she
I love
it. Back, like, yo.
She did.
No Twitter. Answer is an answer.
I know. Hit her up.
Yeah. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm trying to bring up the chat room. I was doing.
Somebody said she's alive.
Yes. Yeah. Should I do a quick pop-up right now?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Man. So I basically came just in time for predictions of WrestleMania.
A
little bit more. Okay.
We have one more. The big dog.
Well,
the beast.
We do have a little bit. Did you get to see the Nia?
Oh yeah,
Alexa Bliss.
Sorry,
okay,
yeah.
I was speed, like, you know how you
speed running it,
speed scanning. There, so I've gotten a little bit of Raw happened tonight.
Yeah.
Everything from skipping around. But oh my God, okay. So Braun Strowman, he came out as his twin brother Brain.
Yes,
long lost twin.
Because they had glasses on.
Yeah,
I completely believed it. I completely. Yeah, did.
I was invested.
It obviously was. I could imagine the womb that those two had to come out of.
God bless the mother.
Oh my goodness.
God bless her.
I mean, just think of all those football players and basketball players. They're like 6'5". And they usually got their mothers are typically, you might have some tall ones, but their mothers are usually like smaller sized women, which is unbelievable. Asuka and Dana Brooke defeats Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. We knew this was going to happen.
I mean, the main thing with this was obviously the Nia Jax stuff, which so we were talking a little bit about social media and how it's like you see her and Alexa are friends. I don't like this storyline because it makes me uncomfortable.
The whole, like, the comments and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like the weight and stuff like that?
Yeah. Mm. I feel like, and someone said to me online, someone's like, but it's working.
It
Nia's
is.
Getting over. And I'm like, there's other ways to get someone over.
I agree.
And I think, like, the fact that they're using Mickie James, who 10 years later, people still talk about the Piggy James storyline about, like, why would you do that? That's gross.
Right.
And so now that she's
stuck with her.
So now that she's a part of this storyline where it's like, this woman's fat. And that's why she's awful,
right.
And making her cry and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, because of shows like Total Divas, we see like she still is actually affected by those things. So the fact that the writers of WWE are
like, yeah, this will work.
This is going to be great. We're going to make her cry for real. Here you go.
Right. Yeah.
It just feels gross as hell.
Yeah, you know what it kind of reminds me of? Back when they had Natalya and they had her like...
Farty.
Yeah. They had her farting and like peeing on herself and stuff like that. It was completely unnecessary.
It was in bad taste.
Well, the thing we were talking about earlier was like my issue a lot with the women's storylines, as great as the matches end up being, is a lot of the storylines tend to be about like mean girls or like these are bitchy people blah, blah, blah. And it's not just about... And that's why I like the Asuka Charlotte storyline, because it's just about... Who's the best?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Stone Cold might occasionally call someone a fat piece of trash, but that wasn't the storyline.
No, never was. He was just talking.
Right. He was just stomping mud holes
and walking them dry, brother.
I mean, The Rock said occasional things about people's looks, but that wasn't the storyline.
It's a different era, though, brother.
Yeah.
That's totally
I know.
Yeah. They were savage back then.
Yeah, more of a dimension to it, kind of a thing. It's kind of tired. You know, it's kind of tired to just have that when it comes to, you know, females.
But the thing that made it good, though, because with Naya, like, we obviously know that she was kind of, maybe except for Asuka, she was taking over, like, the women's locker room. But yeah, we weren't feeling anything. I wasn't feeling anything for her. And I didn't start feeling anything for her until I saw her on Total Divas. I'm like, oh, she's a sweetheart.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just, like, I think they're trying to figure out a way how to get everybody to see her in that light.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily the best thing, but it gave you empathy because no matter who you are, everybody has their insecurities or whatever. And that's an obvious one, and they use that, you know, to put it there. And she, I'm willing to bet she had to okay it. I don't think.
Oh my God,
I'm wondering.
I don't think they would have forced her to do it. Is she really? I mean,
well, you know, they're kind of like, hey, we have this storyline for you. This is happening. Right. Are you really going to be like, no?
I think she has a little bit. I think she has a little bit more.
A little bit of cachet
where she could say, well, It's not gonna fly.
I'm wondering, to some extent, honestly, and it'll depend on if she wins. If she wins at Mania and gets the belt, then it'll be like, okay, not to say it was all worth it, but right. But I'm also kind of wondering if this is a punishment storyline, which WWE is known to do, because I think people might
forget that one time.
Well, people might forget right after No Mercy, right when Neville left, she left too for about a month, and Alexa Bliss had to come out and go like, she's just tired, and WWE was like, she's just tired, and then the story, and then we started to hear nothing confirmed, but we started to hear stuff about like, she wasn't happy with the storylines.
Yeah.
She called The Rock, who's her cousin, real cousin, not like Roman Reigns' fake cousin.
Yeah.
And The Rock said, if you're not happy, walk. And so she did. And then there was this whole thing.
Terrible.
And then
advice.
If we remember, she came back and her first storyline was, you're dating Enzo.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's just bad advice.
Enzo had his things. And then there was like about a month. Yeah. And now it's like, we're doing a storyline when we're going to call you a fat piece of crap.
Ooh.
And make you cry. And yeah, I'm like, are these punishment storylines?
You've got a really good point going on there. That actually makes complete sense.
Yeah, she doesn't get the belt, and then that's for sure. But I heard with those rumors that they were just rumors. Like, it feels
true. They might just be rumors.
Yeah, from what I heard from other folks, they said The Rock didn't say that. She's genuinely, like, so, you know, for instance, Xavier Woods got hurt. But he was literally at some
He's playing Far Cry online
somewhere. So he's just kind of like, because I remember when it happened, I text him like, yo, is everything cool? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I'm good. I'm like, okay. I'm flying out now. All right, just double checking. But it's just kind of like, maybe she just needed that moment because they're on the road the whole time. So maybe that's the case. I definitely see your point. I want her to get the belt. I just really concerned that she just, because Alexa is just amazing on the mic, and I know it's not all about mic skills.
It's a lot to do with it, though.
Yeah.
If she gets the belt and she can't, you know, because we can only feel sorry for you for so much.
Without question.
Yeah, it's like, all right, now use it. Like, you now have got the belt. You now, you know, pretty much took care of her. Now what are you going to do?
Right.
And now she has to develop a character after that. So we'll see. If she doesn't get the belt, then I'm not a fan of the storyline. I just, the writers need to get some women on their staff.
Mm. Yeah.
The big dog and the beast, they go at it. What y'all feeling about this?
I have a nitpick, and it's a nitpick I've brought up about past wrestling things. I never, ever...
Speak on it.
Ever understand whenever they have... And it's to put bodies in there, but whenever they have, like, the wrestlers who are going to break up the fight, when it was Taker Brock, it's always with Brock now. It's Taker Brock or anything, there's, like, a group of wrestlers. And I always look, and it's always, like, a bunch of heels where I'm like, why would they give a shit? Why would the Bard or the Balor Club or anybody else care?
Or when they went over to, like, SmackDown went over to Raw, and they were all together, but they were all fighting, like, the week before. It's just kind of like...
Yeah, or when you see, like, you see heels grabbing Brock, they're like, Brock, stop! And I'm like, you're a heel. Why do you care?
Like, no, just point him in a direction.
Yeah.
Let him run.
But that's a very minor thing. I mean, Heyman, I love Heyman on the mic. I can watch Heyman talk forever.
Heyman's...
He should have, like, where he reads the Bible.
Oh, yeah, I've always said, if I ever ran for president, he'd be my vice president. 100%. I wouldn't care about anything.
Your vice president.
Real talk. I might even go lie.
He put you over so hard.
Think about that. You imagine him like bringing me up to the state? But anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm talking about presidency.
For me, I want him to start his own church.
Like,
the Church of Paul Heyman.
Seriously.
And I would just be like, here.
I'm like, you take it all, bro.
Yeah, those dollar bills. Like, those are Bibles.
That's Bibles, dollar bills, pamphlets.
It's like, the strip club and the church.
Whatever you need, Paul Heyman. Whatever you need.
Really, though, you want him in the re-election when you've already won the presidency in the second time. So
I need to come
back. The reigning, defending president.
Your president.
He's with my hypothetical, never gonna happen scenario.
Wow. So are you guys for this match? You guys,
I don't. So this is what we're talking about off air, is about placement on the card. About if this is the final match, if it's not AJ Nakamura, and it's not Taker Cena. If this is the final match, Brock's done. This is it, I think.
Give him a send-off, a proper send-off.
I think it's he's like, Vince loves him, so I think he's like, I'll let you go, or you're going to get the final match.
Right.
The fireworks will go off. Yeah, it's a weird thing, because like, I don't hardcore hate Roman Reigns, but there's that thing of like, to try and act like the Superman punch is the most devastating move in the world
Stop.
Is silly to me.
Well, only next to the spear.
Yeah.
So,
the two move Maverick.
Savage.
And it's just savage.
Yikes.
And nice. It's just one of those things. And also the thing too is like, again, it's that as fans, we know too much, but the whole concept of like Brock Lesnar is Vince McMahon's boy. And I'm like, you've been shoving this guy down my throat for 4.5 years. You're going to tell me Brock's the boy and not Roman? Get out of here.
But at the same time, in the same breath, though, Brock's a part-time. He's like a part-time champion.
I get that.
He got to get the – but you can't keep hanging on the whole like, well, he delivers and he sells seats, but he got to be there. Oh, you need a champion that's there. Enough of this nonsense.
Yeah, well, you know, I totally understand that.
Yeah, we got to go.
Something that kind of helped me come to terms with not having Brock Lesnar on Raw as much as I wanted him to be because he's Universal Champion and you kind of need a defending champion. Mm-hmm. I started thinking of him kind of like you do the movie Jaws where he is and he's like a shark and he's that threat that you always have. And it's he comes up, he feeds, and then he's gone again and then everybody's going, you know,
I'm with you 100%.
But that's why I want us to kill the shark for this particular time.
It's run its course is what I'm trying to say.
He can't come back.
Yeah, he can always come back. I'm just saying it's run its course.
Jaws 2, Jaws 17, it's a possibility. But at this point, we need to move.
That's all I'm trying to say.
And I agree with you. I just think the storyline of what's essentially I love the WWE more than this guy is a weak storyline. That's where I'm just sitting there. I'm like, just fight.
Yeah, just beat
I don't
beat
care
each other
who
up.
Loves the company more.
Like I said, I love Brock. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying there's times where the title's not even defended.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on now.
All right. Well, it's been an exciting evening. Surprises, etc.
Many.
Literally, Tony's telling us we need to wrap.
Tony about to come in here and kick this door open.
Here's the deal. You say your predictions in like 10 seconds, give your social media, and let's get out of here.
Okay.
So we'll start with the
what's my moniker?
Guest hosts. They're not here permanently, folks. We start with the guest hosts.
Y'all can
The American Dream?
America Sweetheart.
The America Sweetheart.
Yes. You follow your boy on Twitter, Instagram, at Evan T. Mac. Predictions, I got nothing. AJ retaining.
You can find me on twitter.com/JurassicAlien. I'm usually there promoting Hyper RPG stuff where I'm both a writer and a host and a producer. My predictions, Asuka's gonna take it and then she's gonna go to SmackDown. They're gonna Superstar Shakeup.
Jurassic what?
Alien.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Like Jurassic Park and the movie Alien.
I'm on
my
that.
Two favorite movies.
I'm on that. I'm following you right now.
Miss, are you going to be joining us next week? What's the deal?
It is literally a direct conflict with this show right now.
Give us your predictions and tell them where they can find you so they can send you those tweets.
Okay. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty. This is MarkeiaMccarty. I'll be on Collider Heroes every Wednesday. So check me there for, and then of course, Tuesdays, 2 p.m. right here on Popcorn Talk.
Nice.
Marvel movie news.
Ooh.
Please see us there. Legion is starting April 4th. So next week we'll probably have our Legion review. And the show that's in direct conflict with this is Hyper RPG. It's a horror tragic RPG called 10 Candles.
Sick.
Yeah, you can catch the podcast afterwards. You don't have to watch it during this show.
Sick.
So, predictions. Oh, gods. Okay. Yeah, Cena and Undertaker will happen.
Yes.
And they'll retire Undertaker again. That's my prediction.
My prediction, definitely Undertaker's happening. But I've been saying this for weeks. The Rock is coming on. Tweet me when you see him.
Do what, TK?
Can't say.
What?
Plug a new movie, brother.
Tweet. Well, I mean, that's obviously going to be scrolling in the background. We already know that. But tweet me when
Rampage.
You see that.
Yeah, and Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle will win the mixed tag match.
Oh, hot take.
With an armbar.
Or
super hot take. No one sees that coming.
I think they'll do a double submission armbar and the angle.
Oh, I need some Shane. I need Triple H to, and then Stephanie win that match. Oh, boy. Shock the world.
I mean, yeah, that would I would want to see that, but I would like to see that too. Maybe in the opening. Anywho, you guys can follow me on everything at TK Trinidad. I said at the beginning, and I know my folks on live chat, I really appreciate your support, all that good stuff. But I just want to, you know, try to appease everybody. Mm-hmm. They are coming back. Just all that good stuff. You know, tweet them. They're coming back eventually. Other than that, you can find me on everything at at TMZ. You can find me on everything at TK Trinidad. You can also see me on TMZ. I write for Breach Report, uprocks.com, et cetera. Just type my name. You're going to see some stuff. Other than that, we will see you guys next week. Yeah.
Yeah,
next
after week. Yep. After WrestleMania. Wow. The Raw after WrestleMania.
Wow. That's going to be
That's a crazy
big.
One.
It's a barn burner, brother. Yes. Slobber knocker.
Hopefully, we'll all be joined, but other than I will definitely be here because I need to get some more jobs because y'all be working. Other than that, we'll see you guys next week. Yes. Ciao.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.